You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Long throw in time.
Here's your Diamond Play of the Week. Presented by Robbins Brothers, the engagement ring store.
Still on this celebration.
And Yordan drives one deep to right field. Air Yordan. Now with direct flights to Europe. And it's 3-0 Astros.
I think that baseball is going to end up in somebody's brisket sandwich. It almost knocked over Boone's barbecue out there in right field.
Yordan batted last time up with first and third. And grounded it to a double play. High, deep, four. Get about it. Four more on the board. We're no longer calling you Yordan. You are Roydon. R-O-Y. Could be the rookie of the year. 20-1 Astros. Yordan, are you kidding me? This one bounces in front of Utah Street. His third home run. He has 7 runs batted in. The Astros set a new franchise record. They have now scored 23 runs. This guy is unbelievable.
This Diamond Play of the Week is presented by Robbins Brothers, the engagement ring store, West Loop South and Clear Lake.
Yeah, awesome, Roydon. Let's not say that again.
By the way, did you hear? Well, if you watched the games, you could see it in the background. That was a home game for the Astros.
Yeah, right.
That was a home series.
Well, and it's hard to tell because they were orange too. So
I could tell by the arms flailing when Michael Brantley got the shot down the line. Yeah. The whole place was going bananas. it was unbelievable. And the same thing with the 3 home runs. Did you hear the yells and screams when Yordan's hitting those home runs? Well, first of all, 80% came from Astros fans. Another 20% at that time, when you're getting the brakes beat off you that badly, you just start to say, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy the long home runs. I don't care if they're against us or not. They brought in a position player. Yordan had to sit there in a box and wait for all of eternity for that pitch to come down so he could just mash it to the back of the stadium again. But, that was a heavy. The Astros fans really travel. And it's not just traveling. You got Astros fans in other cities, obviously. Maybe they're the bandwagon team now. Maybe people have jumped on the Astros who weren't. I don't feel like that's the case, but I don't know. What do I know? I mean, they check a lot of boxes. They have young stars. They're a diverse group of players. They won a World Series. Like, they check a lot of boxes
this
to
team,
bandwagon.
Either they have acquired a lot of fans in different cities, or this team travels better than any Houston team ever.
Maybe one of both. My buddy Michael Bennis took off to, he and his friends from his neighborhood, he went to St. Louis for a reason, but primarily to go to an Astros game. He went to go see the Astros in St. Louis.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, you can visit different. You say, "Oh, look, they're going to be on the road. You know, let's do a vacation, or you know,
now
a
you
long
could,
weekend."
You could have probably gone cheap to an Astros game with the Orioles.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. No, we were talking about it on Friday, and the ticket started at $5.
Got out of a 100-degree day. Feels like 113 yesterday.
Yeah, I go up to it ain't cool in Baltimore either, but. No, but that was and you see
it's Washington D.C. hot and humid.
Texans fans travel, but we see there are a lot of teams that travel really, really well in the NFL, and the Texans are not one of the upper echelon traveling teams.
They're actually I saw something where they're considered one of the better traveling teams. Just last year they had a rating based on ticket sales. Actually, the Texans have become a good travel team.
No, not like the
not
Steelers
like,
or the those Patriots.
Those are tier one.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Steelers, Cowboys, Patriots.
Yes.
Bears. Packers. Bears, not as much as they had previously.
Well,
but
Bears,
maybe because they haven't been winning.
Bears travel pretty well. Bears travel pretty well. Especially down south. In Arizona, it's in Dallas, it was a freaking Bears home game.
That's
they sold all their tickets. So anyway, but the Astros, you see Astros fans everywhere they travel to, everywhere. And that's great. That is awesome. And they deserve it. They certainly deserve it. They also deserve better than they got out of Osuna yesterday. There's no question. Paul wants to throw some shade at Osuna. What do you say, Paul?
Yeah, it's time to make the move right now. We all know Presley's the better pitcher. It's time to get Osuna out of there. I mean, he's blown 5 out of 31 save opportunities, which percentage-wise is not very good. I don't think this guy is well-liked in the clubhouse. Remember, there were pitchers, certain pitchers, Verlander and McCullers, that when the trade came over, there was they weren't real happy about it. I don't think he's the guy. I don't think he's got the mental makeup to close. We had this problem, obviously, in 2017, using the closer, and we overcame it. But it's time for AJ to make the move. That move yesterday was just idiotic, first of all, to hit the guy on purpose who's the tying run. That's just idiotic. You're David. You're Goliath. They're David. There's no need to stoop to their level, especially when a game is on the line. That game could mean something.
Did you think that was intentional?
So now, here's the deal. He has, and as a matter of fact, you know, the broadcast, I was listening on the radio when it happened, and they said, you know, that's not the first time Osuna has protected a batter. And I think it was Bregman before as well, because Bregman, they came high.
They hit him right in the back.
Yeah.
But you don't do that with men. That can't be.
No. And afterwards, AJ said, it's too. No. AJ was like, this is a stupid question. I don't know that it's all that stupid, if you want to know the truth. I don't know that Osuna isn't very capable as a closer to go after a hitter, another hitter, and protect his guys.
I can tell you this. If he is protecting his hitters in the last inning.
Well, this is the last time you're going to face the Orioles.
Don't care. Win the game.
Yeah.
Unless the thought was, we don't have to win this game. We're fine. I got to make a statement. And then I'll take my chances.
I mean, you know what? In the long run, much like Frank Reich last year, going for two, or going for it on fourth down, rather, in the long run, maybe you're right. Maybe that locker room goes, you know what? We dig that our pitchers are protecting us, even in a loss.
I mean, they could have thought that. Maybe he went big pitcher.
Maybe.
But
I would imagine he would have gone over and Bregman said, I got your back, bro. And you know what? That would be cool. Although Bregman might go, dude, win the game. Dude, win the game.
Yeah.
Let's win the game, and you know, next time we see them in spring training or whatever, we'll throw at their heads. Whatever. It's not the smartest move, but I wouldn't hold. I'm not dismissing that. Are you with Osuna?
Well, I mean, AJ is.
AJ did, but AJ, of course, AJ did, because AJ doesn't want his closer suspended either. AJ is never, if it's completely obvious, the manager always says, no, that's a silly situation to do that in. There's a real possibility he hit him on purpose.
You really think so?
Uh-huh. Don't forget, you think differently. Hispanic players, they think differently. They honestly do. They're like,
don't get nervous,
no.
Del. Don't get nervous.
No. In their culture, coming in, they go, listen, this is how you play baseball.
Yeah.
You hit our guy, we're hitting your guy. I don't care what the situation is.
Only it was a leadoff. There had been a leadoff double.
He doesn't care.
Why don't you hit
the
first guy?
He should have hit the first guy. Because you don't want to put the first guy on. What he wanted to do was get two outs.
Yeah, and then hit a guy.
Yes.
Hey, he saw, there's an open base. Let me just hit this guy.
Well, and the next guy grounded to short. So he goes, you know what? I got this. Watch this. Bam. I'll get a double play.
I'll just put the winning run. I'll put the tying run on.
Oh, but wait a minute. Chris Davis was up next. 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts.
Yeah, that's true.
So I got
that's true.
I got this. Oh no. No, I don't. 713-780-3776. Paul, I agree. I don't know that Osuna what are the odds? What are the odds Monday?
Yes.
That's not actually a thing, but go ahead.
What are the odds Monday that Osuna is your closer for the entire playoffs?
80%.
You think?
75 to 80%.
I don't know. I don't know that. Playoffs,
designated the closer, it doesn't mean he's going to close every game.
Have a save situation, he comes in and closes.
If all things are equal, he's designated the closer. Yes.
No, will say, yeah, he's our closer, then use Presley.
Well, I get paid on my ticket as long as he says he keeps saying
closer. No. Because even when Giles was benched, he was still like, oh, we still got confidence in Giles. No, we're good.
Well, that's what AJ will tell you is different about them, is that they don't have. He can go to whoever he wants on any given day. Although I would argue that was one thing last year when you had Rondon pitching better, although by the end of the year he was a mess. But when you had Rondon and Osuna and Presley, there was a time where you could actually make that argument. Right now, I mean, it's a guy who's blown about 17% of his saves this year, save opportunities. And then you have Presley, who is back, but, you know, is coming off of injury. Rondon is a non-factor. I wish Josh James had turned this year into a year where he was kind of a dominant pitcher, because what I was hoping is he would slide into that setup role. And then you would have some versatility with or setup to the setup. I was hoping you'd have the versatility with Presley, because Josh James has the heat. I mean, he's got the punch out stuff. And so you wanted him to really come into his own this year, and that just didn't happen. And we can say whatever we want. I still feel like AJ Hinch has faith in Devo to a lesser extent. But I think, he did go to Devo on the ninth with a no-hitter on the line. But I think he does have more faith in Will Harris maybe than the rest of America does.
Yeah. He's got a lot more faith in a lot of guys. I mean, he should have benched Yuli a long time ago. Okay? I would have traded you. I would have traded Correa and Yuli and
Hair Trigger John, the GM.
Yep. I would have put McHugh in the starting rotation after his second start. If he's locked in, cannot leave the rotation.
Yuli out of here. You would have traded Yuli, Jordan for Josh Fields.
Honestly, after May, Yuli, you suck this year. Beat it.
There should be a picture. Is Larry Anderson alive? For some reason, I feel like he died.
I don't know that. No one knows.
I may just put
him. I'm pretty sure no one knows. No,
but I'd like to see if we can get a picture of Yordan and Bagwell standing next to Josh Fields and Larry Anderson. Because it's early with Yordan, but two of the great Astros potentially could have been had for Larry Anderson and Josh Fields. What were the Dodgers doing? Never mind. I feel like I'm glad we're amongst friends, or people would say, Yordan wasn't the same player when they traded him. Well, then I'd say, Todd.
Hey. I did text someone in the Astros organization and asked them, please stop. Call him.
And they didn't text
Anibal
back.
Alvarez.
They didn't text back, did
no,
they?
No, not yet. No. 8:15 ESPN 97.5. That's a gritty nickname, I'll tell you that.
Well, I'll tell you what. That's pretty clever, John. Gritty nickname, only it's GRIDDY. My friends over at Gritty, and I talked to one of the guys who runs the company, Jason. He and I were talking the other day about, when people do, they love when people do research. When people do their research, that's when they really love it, because the more research you do, the more you realize that Gritty, through the high price spikes like we had last week, or through the rock bottom low prices, at the end of the day, after a year, you're going to save over $400 on average. And Gritty, the reason is simple, because Gritty gets you wholesale electric prices. You get connected to the grid for just $10 a month. That's going to be, the rate. And for $10 a month to get unlimited wholesale energy prices, you can't help but save money. When you look at what the rates are at any given time, you're going to be well below the market standard. And remember, there's no contracts. If you're not completely satisfied with Gritty, at any time, you can switch. At any time. No hidden fees, no markups, just big savings. Gritty members have saved millions of dollars, and you can save too. If you text Lance to 797979, Gritty's going to give you your first month of membership absolutely free. Now get your first month with Gritty free. Just text Lance to 797979 and start saving. Text Lance to 797979, and you can get those wholesale energy prices too. Message and data rates may apply. It's Gritty.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 820. John and Lance, along with Dell. Raheel joins us in about 40 minutes. Let's talk some stuff. There's a lot of stuff happened this weekend that we need to get to. Simone Biles, the first woman to ever land a triple-double in competition. She won her sixth national title.
Messed around and got a triple-double. That was impressive.
She do it with blocks or steals?
Was it steals? What was the triple-double in, John?
What does that mean?
Did she play in the WNBA or something?
No. She didn't get a. It wasn't with blocks or steals. Dale's it was a
playing
triple
a role
flip.
John Granato there. Right. He's playing your. That was, role. Hey, that's all you did there.
Thanks. Did you just slam the watermelon? Okay.
No.
Yeah.
I thought mine was clever.
Okay. It wasn't that clever.
You didn't get it at first. What
I didn't get it
about?
Because it was stupid.
No. You got it. Your partner got it.
I'm watching her do it right now.
Slammed the water. Yeah. He tried to go. Okay. Melon squishins.
All right.
That's not how it works.
Congratulations.
That's not.
Simone Biles. I'm watching it right now. She's badass, dude. You want to talk about an athlete.
Six-time national champ.
Six-time national champ. That's pretty good. Because she was the athlete of the year again for the Houston Awards, the Houston Sports Awards, and we're all like, what'd she do? And that was a couple years ago already with the Olympics. She wins the national and world championships every year, so I don't know if you heard, but she's pretty badass. Congratulations to her. The Rockets are playing the Warriors on Christmas Day. Christmas night is going to be Rockets Warriors. Probably the last, I don't know, I think Clippers at Lakers will be before it. They didn't give the order, but I'm going to imagine it's going to be Celtics Raptors first, Bucks Sixers next. Then I would imagine, maybe Clippers Lakers after that. Rockets, Warriors, and then the last game will be Pelicans, Nuggets. What order do you think those are going to go in? Celtics, Raptors got to be first. I don't know why the Raptors are even this, but they were the
East
champs.
Coast.
And they were the champs.
Yeah, and they still got it. I mean, you still got some players. I mean, you don't have Kawhi, but you still got some guys that can play a little bit.
Yeah.
I think the Raptors are still a playoff team.
Yeah, but in the East, they wouldn't be a playoff team in the West. So the second game would probably be Bucks at Sixers. Pretty good game.
Mm-hmm.
Then it would be
East Coast game.
Clippers Lakers.
Yep.
Right in their primetime wheel.
Oh yeah,
5-6.
Yeah.
And then Rockets Warriors.
Yep.
And then Pelicans at Nuggets. You know who's missing on this? And probably because they're such a small market.
This is Christmas. That's too many games.
They always do 5 games.
No, I didn't used to. It used to be a triple header.
No, no.
And then they went to 4. I didn't think. Has it been 5?
It's been 5
for a little bit now.
Yeah. Utah's conspicuously absent on this deal.
Not really.
Well, they're going to be better than the Pelicans, but they got to get the Pelicans in.
Yeah, Zion versus Utah's Salt Lake City. That's a no-brainer.
Is he going to be back from his trip to McDonald's? Well, I don't know.
I mean, I don't think he's going to miss a game because he had to go to McDonald's. I mean, he might miss a practice.
He's husky.
Or be late for
he's
a practice.
He's not fat. He's husky.
No.
He's thick.
No. Yeah, fat's a little harsh considering.
Yeah.
What he does for a living,
but he's only got like a 42-inch vertical.
He's
no
thick.
Problem. Yeah,
but he'll lose it.
But it's a no-brainer. Utah's never going to be a high volume TV team. That their TV mark is not great.
No, but
Zion is going to capture eyes, especially his rookie year.
Yeah,
I mean they're going to be on a lot more than people probably think. The Rockets are going to be on a lot. Remember when the Rockets a couple of years ago weren't on after that disappointing 2016? They really weren't on as much in 17, and it's like, wow, that's a pretty good for the national games. I mean, the number is relatively low. They'll be up there a lot this year again.
Yeah. Oh, no. Absolutely.
That's a great, what a great idea the NBA had to just own Christmas like that.
See, and that's what I've been saying about baseball.
I know you get upset about baseball.
It makes me nuts about baseball. You should own the 4th of July.
4th of July, they have teams not playing.
No, I know. The Astros didn't play this year on 4th of July.
Yeah.
That's the dumbest thing ever.
It really is.
That you
can do the fireworks after games.
And your schedule should start Memorial Day. And now Labor Day is taken up. But although Labor Day's only got one game at night. So baseball should take should dominate Labor Day all day. Should dominate the 4th of July. Should dominate Memorial Day. And instead they're just like, you can take off.
They treat their game like we treat it. Just another thing. Whatever. It's not that special.
It's just a game.
Yeah.
Why should we
pay respect to their game when they don't?
That's where the Astros should be playing the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Red Sox, and the Yankees and the Red Sox should be playing.
Let's see if we can get them in against the Rockies.
Yeah, right. Or take the day off.
Hey, they're tired. Give the champs a day. Or the 2017 champs a day off. We don't care. Yeah. We know they're one of the more...
Right.
One of the more entertaining teams in baseball, but they don't have to play.
Yeah, Verlander's going to... That doesn't make
sense. It'd be like if the Warriors never played on Christmas.
Right.
I know they're the champs.
They're
off. I know you either hate them or love them. We're not going to play them.
No. They've had to play... I don't think this... Well, for the last 6 years...
Pretty much.
They haven't had... They've been on every Christmas in prime time.
Yeah, but...
And the Rockets have been there except that 1 year.
Imagine baseball. Imagine basketball going, what, the Rockets-Warriors rivalry? We're not interested in putting that on national TV.
Somebody on ESPN today said, who was it? Anyway, he was like, well, what about, that Rockets-Warriors game on Christmas? Yeah, well, the Rockets really need that because when you get to the postseason, you got to know that you can beat them because they don't know that they can beat them. The Rockets beat them in the regular season all the time. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, what is he talking about?
What are you doing? What are you saying? Stop. Watch
this. Is this a Rockets hater segment? I'm sorry.
We're not talking about hating the Rockets.
He didn't even know that the Rockets beat them in the regular season. It doesn't matter. It hasn't mattered.
It matters. It's embarrassing when you get demolished by an opposing team without James Harden. Yeah, it mattered to them. They're still thinking about it.
The Rockets beat the Warriors without James Harden.
The Warriors were embarrassed by getting beat without James Harden.
The Warriors are. Yeah.
They were embarrassed by it. And sure did show up in the postseason.
So is it more embarrassing for the Rockets to lose to the Warriors when they didn't have Kevin Durant? Or is it more embarrassing for the Warriors to lose the Rockets when they didn't have James Harden?
I'd say it's more embarrassing for the Warriors.
Is it more embarrassing for the Warriors? Because that was a big game.
Rockets lost to future Hall of Famers, Klay Thompson.
There were future Hall of Famers on the Rockets.
You know, my kids every day have multiple basketball arguments every day. Every day at the house. Every day. I get asked the same type of question. Okay, who are your eight who are going to make the playoffs in the West? Who are your five best? Who would you cut from Team USA Basketball? They went down the whole roster. I don't even know, like seven of the guys. So it's everyday basketball arguments. My kids are just so they just can't believe there's even a talk about Golden State being a 7 or 8 seed next year. And I was like, well, the West is really deep. But the fact is, it is really a lot of the same team. Now, I would argue, because Kevin Durant's gone. But you're not going to have Klay Thompson until late in the year, if at all.
You will get him back March.
March or April, but he's coming off an ACL.
Yeah.
So we don't know how he's going to be explosively laterally. You do have D'Angelo Russell. You added D'Angelo Russell. But you lost a big, big piece of your heart and soul.
Aren't you redundant with D'Angelo Russell, though?
Well, I think they're just looking at somebody who can help them score.
Sure.
Another lead guard score who can take Steph off the
Draymond.
Ball. But yet you still have Draymond, but you did lose Iguodala.
Yeah.
And that is like losing your heart and soul off the bench. I mean, you lost a guy who I can't count how many daggers. He must have shanked the if this were a prison movie, he would have shanked the Rockets at least 40 times in vital organs over the years. Just pop, pop, pop. Just vital organs like blood in, blood out where they got the kill zone. It's like he's the metal. He's the one who knows where to get the kills. I don't want his pork chop. I want his life.
Right. And then afterwards, the Rockets felt ramjacked. Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, it can happen. It can happen to anybody. It can happen to you. It's happened to me three different times where I've had foundation issues. And it starts off by you're like, hey, wait a minute. What's this crack doing here? Wait a minute. Why is my window pulling away from the frame? That doesn't make any sense. And before you know it, you've got a ton of issues because foundation issues just don't fix. They only get worse. And what you'll find is that with this inclement weather that we have drastically different weather. We're in the middle of a drought right now. Huge droughts. It's going to dry up your foundation underneath that clay soil. The clay underneath your house is going to start to get really dry and start to shift the home and move it. And then when we have our floods, of course, that's drastically different. So that's why if you haven't had foundation issues in the past, you're sure to have them. And many of you have them right now. You just haven't had it checked out. Get a consultation from my friends over at Ramjack. They'll come out there. They'll do an assessment that is second to none. And that allows them to do the great work that they do. They have a lifetime transferable warranty on work that is patented with technology that's patented. 100% American-made steel pilings are added under your home, the right number to get those floors back in alignment, to get your doorways back in alignment, to get your home back in alignment. Foundation repair is very, very serious, and you need it done right the first time. Don't do it twice. Rely on the experts. Rely on Ramjack Foundation Repairs, over 40 years in the business. Make sure that you call them at 713-599-0102. That's 713-599-0102. Lifetime transferable warranty. It's ramjack.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, along with Dell, where he'll join us in about 25 minutes right here on ESPN. It depends on how long we take to get out of that segment. I'm looking at, right now, fantasy football sleepers, busts, breakouts for 2019, and it's a panel. And only two Texans are even mentioned in it. One of them...
Well, for breakouts and sleepers?
Sleeper, breakouts.
Let me see if I can even guess. I mean, is it Fuller?
Fuller's a breakout.
Okay.
He's a breakout by Tristan...
Cockcroft. Yeah.
Cockcroft.
Careful.
Tristan Cockcroft. Well, you're the one that said Crockett.
Yeah, well.
You know, safer. Okay, say, put some respect on his name.
Safer.
Cockcroft. And then somebody has sleepers and busts. Somebody had sleeper Duke Johnson Jr. as a sleeper.
Well, that's an interesting one.
Bill O'Brien addressed how he's going to use them. And here's the deal, is Kiki QT's out now for a while. Any chance he puts him in the slot a bunch? I mean,
I don't know.
I mean, why if Lamar Miller's in the game and you got a guy who can catch
DeAndre Carter just came off PUP list.
Okay. So, I mean, this guy can catch the ball out of the backfield. So, why can't he catch it out of the slot?
So, I would I want my playmakers on the field.
Yeah.
So I would consider using him in some packages. I wouldn't make him a slot receiver. But I would say I'm going to have him potentially play some of those, get some of those snaps. Why not?
You got
the. I mean, why not? Get good football players out there. Put the ball in their hands. I've always felt.
What's the difference if he's a good football player? He's got great hands.
You're actually right. I think he caught, 64 catches last year. He's had a ton of catches.
He's had the most since he joined the league at the running back position.
Is that how much?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had, oh my God, he had 82 2 years ago. He had, no, that's rushing yards. Hold on a second. Let me get his receiving numbers because I know it's pretty high. I didn't know it was that high. Yeah. 61, 53, 74, and then 47 last year.
47, he fell off.
He's never missed a game.
Yeah.
He's been active for all 16 games
every
season.
So wait a minute. So he can only line up in the – he can't line up in the slot, really?
Yeah, I guess he could. I guess he could with that many targets. Sure, why not? And I don't know that he's running the deep stuff. I think you're –
I'll tell you what. And maybe you're a little more healthy, you put him in one slot. You put Duke in the other slot. You put Lamar Miller in the backfield. You got your two
wide up. Well, you got one dog going this way. You got the other dog going this way. What, Ma?
Ma. I mean, you got four fast guys. As long as Will Fuller is healthy, Kiki's healthy, you got DeAndre on one side, you put Duke in the other slot, you got five fast guys on the field.
I would say he'll get more rushes. Not.
You better go 12
the
personnel.
The most
because,
rushing
God
attempts,
forbid, you got any, that much speed on the field.
The most rushing attempts that he ever had was 104 as a rookie. Since then, 82. He had his most active year was 2017 with 93 targets, 74 catches, and 348 rushing yards. When you add it up, he had four rushing touchdowns, and he had three receiving touchdowns. So, and he's only 25 years old. I mean, Duke Johnson right now, his yards per touch is actually pretty good from a receiving standpoint. Based on what he does, he's averaging 9.2 yards a catch, which is pretty good out of the backfield, typically, and they did have him lining up in the slot some. I really like the addition of Duke Johnson. I really do. I didn't love what they gave up for him, but if he plays really well, you'll forget about it until next year at draft time. You're like, oh, wish you had a third there. But whatever, they're going to get another third, and they know this. They're going to get a third in this year's draft from a compensatory standpoint for Tyrann Mathieu. So that probably went into the thinking, I guess. And I'm with you. Yeah, why not? Why not throw him in the slot?
I mean, how about do something different? So, let's just line up with 12 personnel, and let's go right.
No, but
how about do some different stuff?
They do. They do some different stuff. You got to have your receivers on the field, though. I mean, you're limited if you're missing your number two and your number three all the time.
And this isn't like, and I know a lot of people were upset about the way that he used Braxton Miller, like not at all, or Braxton Miller wasn't a receiver. Braxton Miller was never a receiver. It was an experiment. It was another missed third rounder. It was just they tried. They took a shot, and they missed as they usually do in the third round. So that just happened. Duke Johnson is a football player, is a guy who can go out and is an accomplished receiver in the NFL.
Yes.
This is a different deal.
It's theoretic.
So line them up in different places. Oh, my God. Now you're going to make the defense think, well, what the hell? We hadn't seen this look before. Do some different stuff.
Maybe they will.
Maybe they will.
Because Bill O'Brien coached those kind of guys. And Bill O'Brien clearly wanted him, right? He was the one on the phone. Bill O'Brien
made
this move.
He's the one that made the deal.
He had these kind of guys with, remember, James White? Well, I don't know. I have to look at the timing because he actually may not have had those guys. He had guys like that. I got to go see who their version was because – they've always had the Patriots have always had the run catch type guys, the running backs. But that's what the Patriots use. Bill O'Brien's looking for the same thing here. So I think that's good. I think that's where the league is headed. That's what you and Duke Johnson's still young. So you know, I'm hopeful they use him in a way. You just need him on the field. I felt like he didn't get on the field enough for the Browns, but they had Isaiah Crowell that they liked at one time. They added Carlos Hyde. That was for a coach who lost 31 of 32 games too. So I think that they, you know, they had Nick Chubb, they have Kareem Hunt now. They just realized there's just not enough room for the money he's making. So he should really add something to what the Houston Texans do. We talked about second and third round last week about the Texans' history, and the second round has been problematic over the years. You are right, though. The third round is especially atrocious.
It's atrocious.
From
their get-go.
Let's skip 19 and 18. 19 doesn't matter. 18 featured Martinez Rankins, Justin Reed, and Jordan Akins.
Pretty good.
Right now, Reed looks really, really good.
And Akins looks good.
So let's go.
Akins is going to be around for a while, dude.
Let's go to 2017. Ready? Here's your third round. Deontay Foreman. No longer there.
Cut.
Braxton Miller, 16.
Cut.
No longer there. 2015, Jalen Strong.
Cut.
Those are all busts. 2014, and I'm just reading them all. C.J. Fedorowicz.
Wow.
Cut. Concussions. He had a couple, yeah.
Concussions.
Lewis Nix.
Cut. Before they freaking snapped the ball.
2013, Brennan Williams, he's a wrestler now.
Yeah, he had knee issues, though. I mean,
Sam,
but yeah.
He also had playing football issues.
Yeah, right.
Sam Montgomery, cut. never even put a uniform on.
Neither did Nix. There's two guys.
Now, you go to 2012, you had Brandon Brooks, really good player. 2011, didn't have a third rounder. 2010, Earl Mitchell, pretty good.
You skipped Devere Posey in there somewhere.
Yeah, there was a Devere Posey.
There was a Devere Posey. You missed that one.
Did I miss
that? That was a horrific pick.
Hold on a second. Where is Devere Posey? You sure it wasn't even earlier? Because I know Devere's in there. Devere's in there somewhere. Oh, there it is. There he is. You're right. The Brandon Brooks year, you also had Devere Posey.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that was so you were able to cancel.
At least you hit 500.
In that year.
Right.
In 2009, was Antoine Caldwell. That was really a miss.
That's a miss.
2008, Steve Slayton was a hit.
For 2 years.
Yeah, that's okay.
A third rounder that lasts that a year and a half?
But that was a neck issue, too, remember?
Yeah.
That was an injury issue. Now, you also had Antoine Molden.
Yeah.
Tremendous bust. 2007 was Jacoby Jones. Was okay.
He's okay.
But then 2006, of course, was Charles Spencer, who had an injury. Mm-hmm. I think it would have been really good.
Anytime Ron Winston. Dane runs up your butt, you're going to get hurt.
Yeah, that's a good point. But you got Eric Winston in the third. 2005, you had Vernon Morency.
Bust.
2003, you had Antoine Peake, Seth Wand, Dave Ragone. Fred Weary and Charles Hill were your first two.
Charles Hill is the epitome of the third round.
So in 15 years, not counting the last
Hill,
two.
And I keep calling him Grant, it was Charles Hill, an expansion team cut their third rounder before the season started.
In 15 years of drafting, your best third rounders are, in no particular
Brandon
order,
Brooks.
Are Brandon Brooks, Fred Weary. And Fred Weary has to make this list. Fred Weary wasn't great with the Texans, but he has to make this list. I would say Earl Mitchell.
Yeah, Earl.
Fred Weary. Eric Winston, clearly.
Yeah, no, Eric Winston was a good pick. Shoot, he's still playing, isn't he?
No, he's out. Jacoby Jones. Earl Mitchell.
Yeah, you said that already.
Did I say Jacoby Jones?
Yes, you just said him twice.
What about Eric Winston?
Eric Winston, you said, yes. Okay. Eric Winston is probably your number one. No, Brandon Brooks probably.
Brandon Brooks is number one.
And number two would be Eric Winston. He played for how many? 30 years?
I might put, Eric Winston and Brandon Brooks are very close.
Yeah.
Eric Winston, Brandon Brooks, very close. If you really want to get right down to it.
How about Brandon Brooks, how pissy he was about O'Brien when he left?
Yeah.
I mean.
They thought he was not a worker.
And he goes and wins a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He did.
And he was like, yeah, it's no fun to play for Bill O'Brien.
Well, that may very well be the case.
That is the case.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, well, Brandon doesn't know what he's talking about. It's a lot of fun playing for OB. I don't know if that's true or
not. Sure. All right, let's take a break.
He plays Rick Ross on the sideline. That makes it fun.
Is it fun? Is that fun? All right, let's take a break. 8:46 ESPN 97.5. Raheel's is not far away. Don't you go anywhere.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Auto Care Centers. While supplies last. Offer ends 8/31/19.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 8:51 ESPN 97.5. John and Lance along with Del Raheel joins us in a minute here. Some other stories over the week. You guys watch Patrick Reed win? Northern Trust, you guys see it? It was awesome. You guys see it? You didn't see it? Big. Hey, he's making it tough on Tiger. What's he going to do for President's Cup? Is he going to pick Patrick Reed? What's he going to do? Tiger can't pick himself. He was 4 over the first day, and just then he said, I got a glute issue or something. I don't know. A strained oblique or some crap.
Tiger's not
I mean,
he got his Masters. He's like, all right, good.
Yeah. Well, it ain't easy. You know, a lot of guys, when they win a major, they just go in the tank afterwards for whatever reason. Tiger should be above that because he's got so many majors that this shouldn't be the case, but it certainly is. He's not the same. He hasn't played the same ever since. Has not played the same. So I'm going to be hosting the golf show this Saturday morning. So me and Billy and Charlie might be in a little bit, but he's got to catch a plane. So we'll see. That happened. Then there was a lot of whining going on. Apparently, Brooks Koepka is none too pleased with J.B. Holmes for one, but Bryson DeChambeau, how slow they play. I mean,
That has been a little topic here in golf recently.
Yeah, well,
Rory McIlroy was talking about it.
The guys, right? they're glacial, and they don't. He's like, dude, really? Should take 30 seconds. The other guys are. He said, there's two choices. You choose one club because you might be long, or another club if you're going to be, because you don't want to be short. Whatever the case may be, it's two choices. So make the choice, okay? Let's stop talking for 3 minutes about your freaking choice of club.
Who's the slow? So when you play, when I play, I can play extremely fast because I don't think, I just hit.
Yeah.
And it looks like that's what I'm doing. Just
right.
Hit, get in. Like, if there was a game called Speed Golf, I would love to play that. Where you just hit and you get in your cart and you take off and you get out real fast and you hit again. That would be an amazing sport.
Right.
Kind of like chess. Where those guys make their move and they smash that clock or whatever.
Yeah, they just clock smash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I'd play Speed Golf.
Yeah, no. If you're with a slow player, it's irritating.
Who's the slowest that you've ever seen? Is it Sergio? Remember when Sergio would get the waggle going?
He would have to reclutch.
Was that a kind of a OCD thing? Do you think
Kevin Na was really bad? But I think right now these guys, J.B. Holmes might be the worst right now. Bryson DeChambeau is terrible, terrible. He's so analytic with everything that it's just. It's brutal. Who was it walked off the course because of somebody? Remind me. They wouldn't even watch him putt because it was taking so long. So he walked off the.
Oh man.
Yeah. And this is going on. The rounds are stupid long. 4.5, 5.5 hour rounds for these guys. It's hard to get into a rhythm doing this, especially for faster players like Brooks Koepka. No, Sergio, he's got his issues. There's no question about that. So that's going on. That's our golf segment. Dell, so we talked a lot of baseball and golf so far this morning. And then Duke Johnson.
Yeah, at least the baseball stuff was fun. It was like...
When is it not fun?
One of our star players on the juice.
No, that's not what the talk is, actually.
That was
it's an announcer had an unfortunate nickname called Roy Don.
You say that.
Because he was saying Rookie of the
All
Year.
I know is Todd Cowles is a content creator. He's a content creator. Don't you know Todd was like, look, the Astros are really good. They know not a lot to talk about. Roy Don's mashing, and we've seen that before. Let me drop a nickname and see where this goes. And he created content. I appreciate you, Todd.
So I texted someone in the organization, someone high up. I said, can you please ask him to stop? He said, well, everybody's getting caught up in this Rookie of the Year deal. Yeah, but not Roy deal. Roy Don deal.
No.
Don't call him Roy Don, please.
Right.
Anna Balvarez, please. Call him that.
Well, he didn't call him that. That's Jackie's nickname.
Anna Balvarez. All right, 855 ESPN 97.5. That was a great golf segment. What did you think of that golf segment, Del?
I thought we were going to break, so I thought I could play music. But I think Lance needs to workshop his golf stuff in a work suite.
Work suites. I like that better than your Ramjack stuff, John. Work suites is the company who – let me speak specifically to North Houston for a second. You guys up in the Woodlands and Spring and surrounding areas – you know, I honestly don't know how you drive to downtown. I don't know how you do it. An hour and a half. I've talked to people who have to do it, and they tell me what time they have to leave. And if you're leaving at 5:45 because of the traffic, then you are losing sleep. And then when you have to go home, there's nothing you can do about it. Because I've talked to people who said, well, I have to try to leave at 3:45, or I have to try to leave if I don't get out of the door by this time in my office, and I just might as well wait until about 7:30 or 8 to leave. And what a nightmare. You're losing so many of your personal hours. Why don't you find an office out of Work Suites? They've got a brand new location out in the Woodlands. So if you're in the surrounding area, anywhere near the Woodlands, wouldn't you rather drive into your own office with an IT staff, with furniture already pre-provided if that's what you choose, with your own secretary, your own phone system set up? Everything's right there in a great work environment, and it's all without that massive drive to downtown. This is your chance to say, hey, they've got one in Sugar Land too. So if you're coming from that direction, you can consider getting your own office. They've got month leases, terms from 4 months to 24 months. And then when you mention Lance Zierlein from ESPN 97.5, you got to mention ESPN 97.5, they're going to throw in 2 months absolutely free. That's a huge savings for you. Two free months when you sign up for a package anywhere from 4 months to 24 months. This is your chance, whether you're upgrading or downgrading, or you just want a professional environment with all the amenities, or maybe you're in another office complex and you think you're paying too much. Why don't you check out my friends over at worksuites.com? That's worksuites.com.
You're listening to